All right, I guess we're going to have to start talking about this now, and it's already round one. I'm Tony Desiri, and this is the Overtake F1 Podcast. It is our review of the Bahrain Grand Prix, and once again, it was Max Verstappen just doing what Max Verstappen does, comfortably winning a Grand Prix where he can cross the finish line, make himself a sandwich, sit and enjoy it while the other competitors cross the finish line. That's what we got on Sunday. Another dominating win for the Red Bull driver, the three-time world champion, who shows no sign of coming back down to the pack, and the pack showed no sign of getting close to him. Now, on the flip side of this argument, you could say, well, it is round one. We will see as we get to different tracks around the world. But I think for many of us, this is an idea that this is probably where 2024 is going to go, just like it was in 2023 and for a good portion of 2022. At least in 2022, Charles Leclerc and Max Verstappen were swapping victories early in the season, but Verstappen had two early DNFs. Charles Leclerc had a big championship lead after Australia. But again, Max turned the machine on. He got wins. He got a lot of them in a row. He kind of put Leclerc in his dust and went on to win the championship. Whereas in this situation, it is looking exactly like the man who won 19 of 22 races last year. Because when he won 19 out of 22 races, how many times last year did he win with such a comfortable margin? Where seriously, I mean, as he's going around on his cooldown lap, he's doing that for 20 seconds before anyone crosses the line. So now the big question is going to be, what does this mean for Formula One? To have all of the hype and all of the, it's round one, it's the season opener, has everybody gotten closer to Red Bull this season? Is certainly looking like it could be that way. Even in qualifying, Leclerc had the fastest time of any car, and that happened in Q2. So there was a feeling like, oh my goodness, by the time we get to the race, maybe the Ferraris have closed the gap a little bit. Who knows? Maybe there's something extra in the Mercedes. Maybe the McLarens can pop something. But it ended up being wishful thinking. And sure, there were things on the racetrack on Saturday that we do need to get to, right? There was Carlos Sainz in his final drive this season for Ferrari making a very bold statement that I am a free agent, come get me, to the teams that are going to have an opening next season. There was Sergio Perez, who are like, I'm not done yet with Red Bull, making a charge to get that Red Bull machine into the second position where that team wants him every single weekend. And the third thing was Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo and RB just swapping drivers late, much to the anger of Tsunoda, which ended up being the more exciting thing that happened at the end of the race. I made an observation, and I tell you right now, this is the one thing that drove me crazy. At the end of the Grand Prix, they had 57 laps of this race. By the time we got to lap 50, 51, I think, Crofty and Martin Brundle were discussing the strategic element of Daniel Ricciardo trying to pass Kevin Magnussen for 12th in the Grand Prix. A non-points finish, but that was the most exciting thing that the Grand Prix had with six laps remaining, was a battle for 12th. I'm sorry, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. In all seriousness, if you are discussing a battle for 12th, and that's your best storyline with six laps remaining, you have lost the show. You have lost the show. Your diehard fans will just be frustrated enough to want to see it be better, but your casual fans will not come back. NASCAR, for example, here in the United States where I live, has had back-to-back races where the winner won at the line in a fraction of a second. Daniel Suarez, by 0.03 of a second, won in Atlanta last weekend. And then Kyle Larson won by 0.4 of a second over Tyler Reddick in Las Vegas this past weekend. And IndyCar is getting more and more competitive and a lot more entertaining than what we're getting week in and week out from the Formula One series. Now, the question is, what do we do about this? What do fans want to be done about this? Now, listen, I will lose my mind if Formula One ever said, like NASCAR did, oh, we'll break the race up into three stages so that we'll have a stage one and then we'll get a caution flag and have them all bunch up again. Then we'll have a stage two. Then we'll have a caution flag and we'll bunch them up again. That's not what I want. I don't like it in NASCAR. I wouldn't hate it in Formula One. And the other thing, and even when you try to explain my position to my motorsports friends who aren't Formula One fans, a little bit more, rallying around the NASCAR flag, if you will. And I tell them that Formula One is an engineering accomplishment as much as it is a driver accomplishment. That the 1,000 people who work on these cars and work on the business of Formula One for the teams, whether it's in public relations or an engineer, anybody that's in the Mercedes team, the Red Bull team, the McLaren team, all the hardworking individuals, the winning these races or being competitive against the other 10 teams on the grid is as much of an accomplishment for them as it is for the driver. But it falls on deaf ears. It really does. They don't seem to care. It's not something they're into. They just want to see a competitive motor race on Saturday or Sunday, whenever the race is. And who cares if the engineering and development team at Red Bull, led by Adrian Newey, is pulling out a classic in the RB20. Couldn't care less. All they want to know is, did Verstappen win by 3/10 of a second or a second or 22 and a half seconds? And what's funny is Verstappen might be the only driver who thinks that the competitors behind him are getting closer to him. I mean, forget 22 and a half seconds. That was over his teammate. Carlos Sainz in third finished 25 seconds behind Verstappen. And Verstappen goes, oh yeah, other teams are closer. Are they really? He said, quote, I just think that today everything worked out really, really well. And I don't expect that to happen every single Grand Prix in the near future. So we take it. We look back. Of course, we'll analyze and we'll try to improve further. I don't know how they approach their long runs, you know, with fuel loads and whatever. But from our side, it was definitely not expected to be a half a second ahead. But yeah, it was probably a bit better than I thought today. Are we going to get this every week from him? Every week. It's going to be, oh, no, I think it's 9 seconds, 10 seconds. I don't care. It's just going to, he's just going to say, oh, no, they're getting better. They're getting better. Sure. Why not? I mean, the radio connections between him and the team, him and GP, are like exactly the same. Every single week, they say the same things to each other. I mean, there was a little bit of ribbing from GP over the radio at the end saying, like, Max, like, it was enough. And they have a little bit of that, but most of it is pretty much the same. They say thank you to each other. Max says, oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was lovely. Christian Horner jumps in, tells Max it was mega, and that's it. You could repeat that every single week for this Grand Prix. All right, so let's continue to look at some other things that went on in the Bahrain Grand Prix other than Max Verstappen dominating. And as I mentioned earlier, at the end, we're going to do our report cards for all 10 teams on the grid. Well, things did get off to a bang to start the 2024 season. Charles Leclerc did try to make the move, but Verstappen was very, very smart. Right off the line, Verstappen is lined up to the left side of the grid. He dove right to the inside. He wasn't going to let Leclerc, who was in the P2 position, but was more on the right side and had an inside track to that inside line, he wasn't going to let Leclerc get it. So he made Leclerc go to the outside, and Verstappen was able to hold it, take off, and had the lead. Verstappen was then gone, and then the battle behind him got a little bit more interesting because Leclerc had some braking issues, and he mentioned that early in the Grand Prix, especially at turn 8-10, where you've got to really hammer on the brakes. He was locking up quite a bit, and that allowed some drivers to pass him, George Russell, his teammate Carlos Sainz, Sergio Perez. So he was really struggling. He ended up finishing fourth. God bless him. He tried to get that car as round that Grand Prix for 57 laps with some braking issues, but he did not get into the podium. And when you start P2 and you have a car that had the fastest qualifying time of any of the qualifying runs, and that happened in Q2 on Friday, he should have had a podium. Instead, that third position went to his teammate, Carlos Sainz. And everybody's eyes got a little bit wider when you watch the Grand Prix, because on two occasions, Sainz just went right after Leclerc. No team orders, just went right after him to pass him, knowing his car was faster and knowing his car was better. And again, I don't think Ferrari had to deliver a team order here. Sainz clearly was the fastest car. But, you know, it made people sort of speculate on the larger picture of it all, because Sainz is going to need a ride for 2025. And there will be some teams that will have openings for their team, and Carlos Sainz is certainly going to be a name on top of a lot of teams' list as to who is going to fill that spot. And Sainz wants everybody to know that he's available to be signed for 2025. All right, so back to the Grand Prix. Early turn one, lap one, Lance Stroll, who was in the top 10 in qualifying, got nicked, bumped by Nico Hülkenberg, so with some damage. He ended up going into the pits. He came out last. He had to work his way back up the grid, and he did a masterful job of doing that. Alpine had a terrible, terrible day. They had a terrible day on Friday, finished at the bottom. They had a terrible Grand Prix. Some senior staff resigned after the poor start to the F1 season, so there's going to be a shakeup with that team. game. We will get to the report cards at the end of the season. But other than that, there wasn't really a lot to talk about. I mean, there was plenty of spacing. It was a couple of battles. Mercedes didn't do as well as they'd like, for example. McLaren did better than last year. They feel like they've got some work to do. This was a relatively, I don't want to use the word boring. I hate to use that term, but let's just call it uneventful. There really wasn't a lot to talk about. I mean, the Red Bulls had a 1-2 finish. Ferrari had a 3-4 finish. After that, you could shuffle up the deck as much as you want. Lewis Hamilton complained about a broken seat in his cockpit. Lando Norris ended up with P6. Like I said, other than that, an uneventful Bahrain Grand Prix. But the big overriding question is, if you're Formula One, how much are you worried that we are watching such a dominating performance by one driver where the narrative is already pre-written into the script before we even put lights out, before we even get going? We have already suspecting that a Verstappen victory is imminent. That barring any sort of collision on the track or electronical malfunction or anything like that, Verstappen is going to cross the line first. And that is somewhat problematic for the bottom line. Now, it affects us entertainment-wise because, man, I'd like to see some real battles out there. I'd like to see 2-3 guys in championship contention. I'd like a little bit more Ferrari, a little bit more Mercedes, a little bit more even McLaren being able to compete for races week in. Wow, I want 2012, right? We had 7 different drivers win the first 7 races of the season that year. Remember that? Right? I don't necessarily need that kind of overload, but I certainly wouldn't mind a weekend where maybe Lando Norris had a chance to win a Grand Prix, or Oscar Piastri had a chance to win a Grand Prix, or Carlos Sainz, or George Russell. Or I want that opportunity to believe that that could happen. And right now, I don't believe that can happen. I don't think anybody believes that that can happen. And you can only sell the sport so much if you're pitching to your audience, yeah, unless something happens to the leader, everyone else is fighting for points, everyone. Points and podiums. They're happy with podiums. Just get a 2 or a 3. Get on that stage. And you might win the Grand Prix if something happens to Max. You know, maybe there's a collision. Maybe there's an engine malfunction. Whatever. You might be able to win the Grand Prix. But if you race them head-to-head, you're probably not going to win it. All right, let's give report cards for all 10 teams on the grid from Bahrain. And let's start with Red Bull. It's an A+, obviously, with Max Verstappen. Started from pole position, had the fastest lap. He won the Grand Prix by 22.5 seconds. And Sergio Perez did his job, too. I mean, he got up there and got that P2. He made some overtakes. And here was the one thing that I was watching for at the end of the race, which I found interesting. And then I kind of had to pull back on it a little bit, was late in the Grand Prix, Carlos Sainz had the hard tires on, and Sergio Perez was riding softs. Now, Sergio Perez was pulling away from Sainz a bit, but the idea was that towards the end of the Grand Prix, maybe with like 50 laps remaining, Sainz could maybe make a charge as the hard tires were really getting worked in, and the softs might have been going away. The problem is that Sergio Perez is the best tire whisperer in the game, and he wasn't going to let the softs get away from him like that. He had built up a 3.5-second lead. I think it got to 4 at one point. And now you're saying, okay, with about 7 laps remaining, is there enough from Sainz to really make a run at Perez if, again, the tires were going away? But nobody works with tires better than Sergio Perez out there. Best, as I said, best tire whisperer in the game. So they get an A+, and a lot of it is Sergio Perez on that A+. Because Verstappen, it's almost like a given he's going to win. But Sergio had a very, very good run for 2 and kept the gap between him and Carlos Sainz very, very reasonable, and it never got to a point where Sainz could make a charge. All right, let's go to Ferrari. I'm going to give him a B here, and I know maybe a B+, because Leclerc had the braking issues, and that cost him. You go from P2 to 4th. All right, so now you're not only getting you're not in the podium, you're the first one out of the podium, and you're passed twice by your teammate, right? But Leclerc did have a good Friday. He had a bad Grand Prix. He managed to make that car get that out to the finish line ahead of everybody else other than the 2 Red Bulls and his teammate. For that, I give him a ton of credit. But it's Sainz that's the B+. Sainz is the reason Ferrari is getting a B+. because it was a great run for him. And again, with all of the attention of who is he going to drive for next year, and again, making those passes on Leclerc and taking that car and getting it into third place, it's a solid start for Ferrari. 3-4, best team outside of Red Bull, and that was a great run for them to start the season. And a lot of it is Leclerc getting that car around that Grand Prix with the braking issues and the lockups. All right, Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton finished seventh, complained about a broken seat in the cockpit. He had a really, really rough race. Very disappointed in the outcome. Thought that there was more there that they could have had. George Russell finished fifth. I'm going to give him a C. I really thought they could have been better. Russell did get that car to P2, passing Leclerc early. But again, same kind of thing. They had a power unit that was overheating early on. They had to manage that throughout. Both drivers were just a little disappointed in their day. Felt like there was more there that just wasn't there that they couldn't extract. So they did a lot of lifting. Toto Wolff said it afterwards. They had something wrong with the cooling. So they did a lot of lift and coast, a lot of lift and coast throughout the Grand Prix. So it's a C. It is both drivers in the points. Nothing went mechanically wrong in the sense that one driver had a DNF, but it wasn't the best foot forward for Mercedes to open up the season. Definitely was looking for more from them and they didn't get it. McLaren, I could look at it as two ways for McLaren. One, do I give them an A because both drivers were in the points and they weren't last year? In fact, they were so terrible last year, we were blowing them off for the rest of the season because they also had a bad race in Saudi Arabia. But Lando said, hey, I thought it was a tough race. He finished sixth, is ahead of Lewis Hamilton. They had some good race pace, but in the end, again, kind of the same idea that Mercedes had. There needs to be a little more from this team. Oscar Piastri finishing eighth. That's good for him to start the year in his second full season in Formula One. He felt like he had a very good race. So for McLaren, I'm going to give them a B minus. It's a B minus. Maybe it should have been a little bit better. Again, both drivers felt there is much, much improvement that's going to come from this car. But I'm going to give them a B minus. It was better definitely than last year's race at Bahrain. But again, McLaren is looking at how they ended last season, not how they started last season. So when they're talking about being kind of disappointment, when, you know, and Andrea Stella was talking about how, look, they got some work to do. I think it's because how they finished in 2022 and there was a lot of momentum going into this season. So they want to live up to that momentum. Aston Martin, I'll give them a solid B here. And a lot of it is for Lance Stroll, you know, getting a point, getting that final point and getting intent after that, getting tagged by Nico Hülkenberg. He fell all the way back to the pack. And you know what, from that point, it becomes a very, very difficult and long race. I mean, that track is not one where you're just going to pick off people left and right. You had to pit early. You made the hard tires work really, really well. You made some passes and you got in a 10th. Fernando Alonso finished 9th. He was happy to score some points today. This is where the key for me is a little different from them compared to the other teams that I mentioned, McLaren and Mercedes, is McLaren and Mercedes felt like the car should have been better. Like, we should have been better than this. Fernando Alonso was just happy to get 9th and said, this is about where we should have been. So I'm going to give him a B. That's a solid start for them. You know what? They completed their objective. As Mike Crack said, they got their cars home in the points, and that's what they wanted, especially Lance Stroll. Good for Lance Stroll because he, again, fell all the way back to P20 and worked his way up. Kick Sauber, they had a 52-second pit stop for Valtteri Bottas. He obviously does not want that to happen again. He finished 19th. Zhou Guan Yu tried to give him everything he could. He ended up 11th. This is a C-minus for them. That pit stop was really, really bad. But again, these things happen and these things come and go. But it's a C-minus for Kick Sauber in that team's green and black debut at Bahrain for 2024. Haas, I'm going to give them a C-minus. C-minus. You could convince me of a C if you really wanted to make it work. Nico Hülkenberg, 16th. He was the one that tagged Lance Stroll, so he got into it in the first lap of the race. Had to fight his way back and all that. It was not a very good race for him. But Kevin Magnussen, even though it was a P12, felt like, yeah, it was all right. You know what? It's not in the points. I want to be in the points. But you know what? We got a little bit better car this year. And my God, he held off the hard-charging RB duo of Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo, who swapped places late to try to take that 12th away from him. Get out of here. Kevin Magnussen, again, not too thrilled, but not sad either. So you could sell me on a C, but I'm going to stick with C-minus for Team Haas. RB, what can I say? This could be the soap opera of the season. This could be the story we follow all year round. Daniel Ricciardo, 13th. Yuki Tsunoda, 14th. Yuki was angry that they made him swap places. I mean, angry. These two, this is going to be fun. Ricciardo is just a likable guy to the public, but him and Yuki could have a really fun Drive to Survive episode for next season if this goes on like this. And Yuki gets very, very animated behind the wheel. You know what I mean? And we'll see. The call for the driver swap was a little late. If you were going to do that, you should have done that way early, but they did not. But again, RB in the name debut of the team, I'm going to give them C-. All right, how about Williams? Well, Logan Sargeant brought out the first yellow flag of the race. He had a steering wheel issue. He ended up finishing 20th. And Alex Albon, I kind of expected a little bit better from him. He's been, you know, he's hit or miss sometimes, but he's been really on the more positive side of things. But he felt like the car wasn't quite there. I'm going to give them a D. Logan Sargeant's got it. I mean, listen, it was a wheel issue. I get it. But these things can't happen to Logan Sargeant on a consistent basis. He's the great American hope. I get it. He hasn't been an American driver on an F1 grid since Alexander Rossi in like 2015. So again, when the America was getting all into Formula One, it was great to have an American driver like Logan Sargeant, but he hasn't really done anything. And I remember making this comment. If you've been listening to this podcast for years and years in season one, I kept saying Americans won't root for an American driver if he's in the back of the pack, if he's finishing last or near last. And this was when we were talking about Colton Herta getting a ride in Formula One, not Logan Sargeant. And if he was a bigger presence in Formula One, like if he was in the points and competing for wins, then I think most Americans would warm up to him and embrace him. But you can't when it's always P20, P19, P18, did not finish, those kind of finishes for Logan Sargeant. Alpine, flat out F. Boy, what a horrible weekend. Why did he even bother showing up? Alpine had no car in qualifying, nothing in qualifying. Done. They started at the back of the field. Both Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly, who are not friends, as we know now, even more that they're not friends, both finished at the start of the back of the field. Ocon finished 17th, Pierre Gasly finished 18th. As I mentioned earlier, there's a complete shakeup within Alpine just a day after, 2 days after the Grand Prix. They're shaking up some senior management. I don't even know what to say. They were not even close to being a factor at all. I mean, not even like moving up the grid and maybe making some noise. They had Zilcho in the car. Zippo, nothing. Nothing. Just continuation of what they saw in qualifying. That's the way Esteban Ocon put it. Well said. Just continuation of crappiness. So there you have it. Saudi Arabia preview coming up. Yasser Stappen will not be there. Boy, there's some things brewing between him and Christian Horner that's starting to come to the surface. Something that had been rumored for a really, really long time is now starting to pop in the news. So we'll have a preview of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. That was a race not won by Verstappen last year, by the way. Sergio Perez won last year's Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. We'll preview that of top five, bottom five from Bahrain, plus any news and notes that's coming through Formula One. We will have it for you coming up in just a couple of days, our Saudi Arabian Grand Prix preview. All right, please like the podcast, subscribe to it. Please share it with your friends if you like what you've been hearing. Again, season 4 of The Overtake is now underway. Thank you so much for being a part of it. We will see you later this week with a preview of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. I'm Tony DeZiri. This is the Overtake F1 Podcast.